Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome a guest this morning. I don't know how many of you remember, but earlier in the year we started a journey with CAP Money, Christians Against Poverty. They're a fantastic organisation, and I'm not going to go into it. I'm sure Mark is going to explain a bit more about it. However, we offered to start a money course here at the church, and if anybody was interested in being one of the facilitators of that, we would send you on the training. Today, we were going to hear from Mark to sort of get a bit more understanding and insight. Mark's going to come and talk to us about God's heart for alleviating poverty, and I got to say that's a big portion of the gospel right there. So. Yeah, let me just, why don't you welcome Mark as he comes up. And let me pray a blessing over you, Mark. Lord, we just pray that Mark would be blessed today as he shares the word with us. Let us hear with open ears. I pray, Father, that you just activate our brains to listen and our spirits to receive. Lord, that this is such a relevant topic for our Christianity and for our own lives in the war and in the walk. That this is a part of your plan for the world and your plan for us as Christians. Lord, we just pray that this message would go and we would receive it as a church. We would receive it as individuals in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Mark.
Well, good morning, and may I add my welcome as well from our home church of Riverview. It's great to be here with you, and I'd like to thank Chris for inviting us here. It is indeed an honour to share about some of the things that God is doing within the local church here in Australia. What an awesome day to worship God. What an awesome day to worship God. Let's take another moment. Almighty God, open our ears to hear your word and your voice. Speak to our hearts and strengthen our will, that we may serve you today and always. Amen. My wife and I are passionate supporters of Christians Against Poverty. Vanessa is with me here today, and we have three sons, Zachariah, who's 14, Ethan, who's 17, and Joshua, who is 20. They're back at home tonight, probably sleeping, but they love the Lord and heavily involved in the church community at Riverview. Vanessa is a CAP Debt Centre manager and has joined me, and we're here to help answer any questions that you might have. I personally am a debt coach, as in I volunteer for the CAP Debt, as well as I'm a coach within the CAP Money program. So definitely, if you're interested, come and ask me. I'm very keen to see our friends, our family and our colleagues become debt-free. A little bit about my story. I left school when I was 15, got an apprenticeship and began to earn money. I made two significant observations when going through that apprenticeship. One was the very low wage you get as a first-year apprentice. $1.25 an hour was what I was on. This was in the late 80s. What struck me at the time is that if I had gone down to McDonald's and got a job, I'd have been at least double that. At least double. The second thing that I observed was the situation of seeing my family lose their house, or our house, to bankruptcy. This was, as I said, in the late 80s, early 90s, when interest rates were around 19-20% for a home loan. Now, as I look back at my life, I'm greatly blessed both to observe those two facts, but also to have some people talk into my life and encourage me to better manage my money. Have I been perfect with managing my money? No. But by God's grace, Vanessa and I have been able to put food on the table and keep a roof over our heads. Sadly, this is not the case for many Australians today. Vanessa and I have sat across the kitchen table of many families as they explain their situation that they're currently in. Typically, they explain how fearful they are of answering the phone or opening their front door. One family I volunteered for in the beginning of the journey would not answer their phones. I'd have to actually call one of their daughters and get them to pass a message on, and then he would eventually call me back. This was a result of incessant calls from debt collectors throughout the day, into the evening and on the weekends. They even experienced calls at 2 a.m. in the morning. The same family had debt collectors knocking on their door just before 7 a.m. while they were preparing to go to work. They simply retreated into their house, into their shell, and became lost to the world. This, unfortunately, is a devastating reality of thousands of Australians across Australia right now. But today I'm going to share to you about why we should have a heart for the poor and Jesus' heart for the poor. Timothy Keller is a Christian author and theologian who's written some powerful and thought-provoking books on the topic of poor and the role of Christians. In his book, Generous Justice, he states this: serving the poor, doing justice, is the sign that you have been justified by faith. It is not the basis. You are not justified because you are serving the poor, but the heart poured out for the poor is the inevitable sign that you have been saved by grace. At first glance, this seems quite confronting. What does he mean by saved by grace? Well, Tim Keller goes on to explain that justification comes from receiving God's gift of forgiveness. But more than that, recognizing that Jesus' righteousness is pinned onto us like a medal. When Jesus died on the cross, he defeated sin. Yet the medal that he received for that victory is pinned on each one of us. That is being saved by grace, being justified by grace. So let me repeat the quote. Serving the poor, doing justice, is the sign that you have been justified by faith. It is not the basis. You are not justified because you are serving the poor, but a heart poured out for the poor is the inevitable sign that you have been saved by grace. Many people don't realize that this is one of the main concepts of the Bible. In the Old Testament, the prophets Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Amos say that if we were not intensely concerned with the quartet of the vulnerable, our hearts were not right with God. So let's have a look at... who are the quartet? Does anyone know? The widow, the orphan, the immigrant, and the poor. The widow, the orphan, the immigrant, and the poor. So let's take a look at Isaiah and how he tackles the issue in Isaiah 58. Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen, to loosen the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free, to break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wandering with shelter? When you see the naked, you to clothe them and not turn away from your own flesh and blood? Isaiah is not holding back on in Israel. The act of fasting was a way you humbled yourself before God. You are saying to God, I am a sinner and I need your mercy. And when I read this passage in Isaiah, it's like he's saying to me, Mark, when I see you fasting in church or at home, but you're not feeding the hungry, you're not sheltering the homeless, then there's a disconnect between you and God. If we truly know that we are saved by grace and we humble ourselves before God, our actions will be to serve the poor, feed the hungry, and provide shelter for the wanderer, and see the naked and clothe him. What Isaiah is saying, if our heart is right with God, we will care about the poor. My eldest son and I were granted the great privilege of going on an impact trip with our church to Cambodia. We were able to minister to the many local children, including those that lived in rural Cambodia. The blessing that these children gave us was immeasurable. Seeing the white smiling faces through the dirt and grime on their faces was just priceless. We know poverty overseas is significant and challenging, and we continue to champion those who reach into these areas. However, here in Australia, poverty is often hidden. 2.99 million Australians are living below the poverty line. That's one in eight. Thousands are making choices as to whether they feed themselves or pay a bill. It could be the family that look like they have it together, but secretly their shopping trips are filled with anxiety. Are they going to have to put back things on the shelf? Are they going to have enough money for that next bill? Shame and guilt grip them. They come home, eat their bread with their tears. Or it could be the woman who's currently couch surfing. She's been out of work for 12 months. Saving enough money for a permanent rental seems impossible. It could also be your elderly neighbour who sits alone in the cold, unable to pay her energy bills. Christians Against Poverty found out last year that 97% of their clients suffered from anxiety and depression because of their debt. 45% of these were prescribed medication as a result of the stress of the situation. Relationship breakdowns are common. And the statistic that spurs me on to action is that 30% of clients were suicidal prior to becoming CAP clients. Poverty and debt are killing our minds, our marriages, and our mates.
Even as a Christian, I was full of anxiety. I was working 3 jobs. I was paying higher rent than usual. I had 8 debts to try and pay off on top of everyday expenses. 99% of the time, I couldn't pay it all when it came to every fortnight. Being so much in debt and working all the time and trying to get ahead, I ended up at the point where I got really depressed and anxious. I wouldn't even leave the house. I even stopped going to church. My friends would try and call to hang out and I just wasn't feeling it. I was burnt out. I wouldn't even answer the phone and I just ended up isolating myself. After seeing a few red flags about how my behaviour was, I ended up going to the GP and he put me on antidepressants. But even being on antidepressants, the stress took its toll completely. And I ended up getting really sick and ended up in hospital after trying to end my life. After being discharged from hospital, the debts were still there. In fact, they actually doubled in size because I wasn't working while I was in hospital, so the stress got to me all over again. I was on Facebook one day and my friend liked one of CAP's Facebook posts. Just by chance, I happened to see it on my news feed and I decided to search it out because I was so desperate to try and find some help. So I went to go on their website to see what they provided and I was impressed that they were not-for-profit and there were real testimonies of real people who had succeeded and got victory in their finances. After my initial phone call, the lady on the phone asked if she could pray for me, and after that I instantly knew that everything was going to be okay from now on. They followed me up every few weeks to see how I was going, not only with my budget but how I was going personally. And this helped me become a friend of theirs instead of just a client. Being debt-free is kind of an inexpressible thing. I've never been able to save before, but now I'm able to, and it's great to see my savings grow. My anxiety and depression levels have actually decreased to the point where I haven't been on antidepressants for a couple of months now. I've also returned back to my local church and become consistent again. Now I have so much freedom to be able to bless other people. I was able to bless my friend who didn't have any groceries and I was able to bless her without restriction. Most importantly, I'm able to give back into my local church missions, which I haven't been able to do for a really long time. It is actually really freeing to know that I'm no longer bound by fear or worry over my finances. I'm feeling really blessed. I have reconnected with friends and my relationship and faith in God has grown. I'm completely changed. I am now free.
As you may be aware, we do not have to travel very far to find another Sarah. There are many in our community who do not think that anybody cares for them. Doesn't anybody care about people? The good news is that Jesus cares. He has entrusted us, that is, we the church might care. Jesus cares about people hiding in shame, the poor, the widow, the stranger, Jesus. Jesus travelled around the world challenging the status quo and flipping society upside down. Or really, is it the right way up? Depends on how you look at it, I suppose. He came into a broken world, a world that believed that the poor were getting what they deserved. While people told the blind and the lame to leave him alone, Jesus sought them out. He stopped, he listened to their stories, then he healed their sickness and forgave their sins. While many believed that the marginalized were not their problem, Jesus said, being a neighbor means stopping for that one person, providing clothing, shelter, food, and friendship. While others saw brokenness that was too hard to fix, Jesus saw people through the eyes of compassion, and his compassion has no limits. Jesus came with a very specific mandate. In Luke chapter 4, he says, to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom to the prisoners, and to set the captives free. He said that the thief comes only to steal, to kill and destroy, but I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. He said, one lost person is worth leaving 99. He embodied the audacious truth that every single person is made in the image of God, that no one is too far from his grace. He embodied the good news that he himself came to give, freedom in this life and hope for the next. While religious leaders were looking for a king to reign the earth, Jesus took all that brokenness, the poverty and the world's misery upon himself and was nailed against the cross. Through his life, his death and his resurrection, Jesus changed everything. Ready to pin the medal of honor on his victory over sin on each one of us. And in his life, Jesus gave us a model of model to follow. But it wasn't new. It was the same mandate that had been given to Israel through Isaiah. He calls his church, his people, to live as he did, to reach into brokenness and offer a helping hand, to go after that one, to show compassion has no limits, to share the good news. The good news is that Jesus came to give life and to give it in all its fullness. The exciting thing is that there is a solution. His church and Christians Against Poverty are playing a vital role in providing for this solution. Chris was telling me when we first talked about the wonderful ministry of providing emergency relief and the faithful witness that it is to your community. It's fantastic to hear about your generosity and willingness to feed those within this community here. CAP's mandate is actually to equip the church. And we do this in a number of ways. Sorry, it's jumping around a little bit. Debt help. Helping people currently held in captivity by debt, finding a way out into a life of freedom. I kind of describe this as more like a major accident has occurred and the person is being medevaced into an emergency department. An expert team comes along and provides radical and life-saving emergency on their budget and finances. CAP money, on the other hand, is very much preventative. It's the idea that an apple a day keeps the doctor away. Teaching people how to better manage their money, ensuring that they spend less than they earn, to pass this information on to their children. Job clubs, serving people who are unemployed, loving them and empowering them back into the workforce. It becomes quite difficult to set a budget when you don't have an income. So CAP, in its job club programs, works with people to help them get a job. Release groups. The newest of our ministry support to the local church is the release groups, giving people tools to break free from addictions that hold them captive and into a life that God has intended for them. All of our CAP services does so at no cost to the client. Vanessa recently helped a young woman through her debt. And this young woman had previously engaged a debt management company who she'd seen their advertising on TV. This young lady had a relatively small debt, and unfortunately she was struggling with it. As a result of the fees and charges that were applied by this company, her debt increased by $2,000. And that was in the first year. CAP provides its services free to clients, but as you understand, it's not without cost. The fact is, today, poverty and its causes are destroying families right across Australia. Most of our CAP debt clients were feeding their families on less than $8 a day before coming to CAP. Poverty caused by unemployment steals confidence, removes the purpose from people's lives. In the words of someone out of work, unemployment kept my brain locked on the suicide channel almost constantly. So Jesus is using Christians Against Poverty, his church, and his people to bring life, life in all its fullness, to families who desperately need help, hope, and the good news of the gospel. Every person is precious to him. Every person is worth going after. I love that CAP is passionate about four things: serving the poor, seeing the lost saved, and doing it with the church all across Australia. Vanessa and I can testify that over 81 people came to Christ because of CAP ministry around Australia last year. 23 of those were in West Australia. CAP as an organisation understands that it is with the local church that the good news of Jesus can be shared, and a connection is through financial services. Today, CAP is managing $10 million worth of debt on behalf of more than 500 families who now can put food on the table every day, focus getting back on their feet while they're paying off their debt at a rate that they can afford. CAP clients pay their own debts. It takes them an average of 3 to 5 years, and CAP never pays a single dollar off their debt. Our team simply empowers people, negotiates on their behalf, and provides long-term support as they journey into financial freedom. And the church community supports them practically and spiritually along the way. Since CAP began 17 years ago, we've seen over 2,100 people become debt-free. That's a lot of families and a lot of kids. Hundreds more continue to find help and confidence through the church. I'm immensely proud of the four men that I've volunteered for over the last couple of years. I've personally seen them become debt-free. I see them without the burden on their shoulders, proudly holding their heads up and feeling like they're real men. In John 10, it says, "I have come that I might have life and have it to the full." One of the most exciting things that I have to share with you today is that this year, CAP has celebrated 1,500 people committing their lives to Christ. It's awesome. Hundreds of families are experiencing life in all its fullness and hope and freedom. Jesus changes everything. And he's using Christians Against Poverty, his church, to bring this good news across Australia. I'm going to show you a story about one family's journey, but before I do that, I'd like to give you an opportunity to get a free copy of Nevertheless. It's a book that describes CAP's incredible journey, and it's written by CAP's founder, John Kirkby, who experienced his own struggles with crippling debt and brokenness before coming into a relationship with Jesus. To get your free copy, all you need to do is fill out the contact details in section 1 on your form of your seat, and I'd love to keep you updated on everything that God is doing in his work and continue to share stories about as he changes more and more lives. I know you'll be challenged and inspired by it. It's an amazing story of God's faithfulness and his ability to do exceedingly more than we can imagine. So please, fill in the form now and I'll play the video of John and Josh and Corinne's story.
Corinne and myself had been married for a few years and we were both working full-time. Both had good paying jobs, didn't have a real need for a budget. I thought budgets were just for people that were struggling financially. Then all of a sudden we became pregnant, which was really exciting and happy. But then we got the news that I was going to lose my job, which happened pretty suddenly. And as we started to slip down that slippery slope of debt, it became harder and harder to get out of that and get back on top. Myself and Corinne would receive phone calls from our creditors and then having to tell them, I know I owe you that money. I really want to pay you that money. I don't have that money.
I remember going grocery shopping and, card declined. And I had to try and decide what was most important in my basket. Okay, do I get the nappies or do I get milk?
It was a constant daily reminder that you were failing.
My mum and dad were always really good at budgeting. And I probably felt a little bit embarrassed that I hadn't learnt anything from them. There was no end in sight of paying these credit cards off before we came to see Kat.
Called Kat, explained our situation, they prayed with me, made me feel like there was hope. When we initially got the budget back from Kat, that was a massive weight that I felt was lifted off my shoulders.
It was instead of us trying to claw our way out, it was more them giving us a plan, and that felt really peaceful.
Within a few weeks, we noticed that things started to change very quickly. Just seeing those numbers go down of what we owed was really exciting and encouraging to keep going. I phoned Cap to let them know that I had done my tax return, and he said, Josh, if you give us $2,500, you won't have any debt left. So I said, all right, can I send it through now? So he said, look, what we'll do, send it all through, we'll pay all the debts off, and then whatever you got left back, we can transfer that back to you. And a couple of days later, he sent me an email and a phone call to say, Josh, you're all debt free. You and Corinne, you've done it, you've paid it all off. That all happened just before Christmas, and that was an amazing Christmas for us. Instead of constantly having the debt to talk about, we had exciting plans to talk about. We had hope to talk about. We had future that we could start to really look forward to. If you can give anything, even if it's something small, you're releasing them from that burden of feeling that they can't provide for their family. That's what you're helping. Without your support, Kat can't keep doing what they're doing. And that would be a real shame, because without them, my family wouldn't have the life that we have today.
Lives like Josh and Corinne's are being transformed every day. There is a light when there was darkness, hope when there was no hope, new life that will impact children and their children's children. Starting with one man's vision and faith has now become a movement of God, involving more and more people in transforming families' lives across Australia. Personally, I'd love to see us do even more to help more people out of debt, more people to manage their finances, more people into jobs, and ultimately more people transformed by the saving love of Jesus. Because that is where true transformation helps. Will you join me? I'd like to give you the opportunity to get involved with this movement of God. First, as I mentioned earlier, don't miss out on your opportunity to get the free book of John's. Just simply complete the form and hand it to us at the back of the service. And secondly, if you consider as a church what poverty looks like in your community, will you seek out those who are currently living in darkness and consider how you can serve them and share the gospel, the good news of Jesus with them? And finally, I'd like to give you all the opportunity to join us in changing lives by supporting us financially through a regular donation. Whatever you can give to CAP, your financial support ensures that we can continue to provide and expand our free services so that even more families can experience life of freedom and transforming love of Jesus. The fact is that every family like Josh and Corinne's that have been helped, there are so many more families desperately in need, yet we're unable to help. Our vision is a bold one. We want to significantly increase our services across Australia so that anyone in the country who needs help has access to our free services. We want to equip more churches to run CAP services, in particular CAP money. Because the dream we have of a day when the church will be the forefront, at the forefront of social transformation, the place people turn to in times of trouble, that the church will be known for helping people find freedom. And it's a vision that you all can be part of. All of our services, as I said, are free to our families, but they do cost. We receive no government funding because we will never stop praying for our clients and we will never stop sharing the gospel. Just like you, we believe we need to care for people not just physically, but spiritually and emotionally. Just like you, we believe families should have an opportunity to find Christ, to experience His saving love, and to be drawn into the local church. Just like you, we believe that the church can be at the forefront of social transformation, and it is the only true hope for lasting change. Can I ask you today that if you can give regularly to CAP and become a life changer, to join me and 3,600 others who regularly support our work. The amount is not important. Doing what you can do with the resources you have, $5 a week is a cost of a cup of coffee, and it makes a huge difference. To become a life changer, simply fill in the right hand of the form on the chair. Tick the box that says that you would like to give regularly, and then fill out as many details as possible. Now, if you don't have all the bank details with you, that's okay. Just tick the box and one of our people will call you and ask for the rest of the details. It's also an opportunity for you to ask our team as well. And finally, this is for the one or two people here which the Lord is calling for a specific role. We have 3,600 life changers that give on average $27 a month. We now have established a group of individuals called Vision Sponsors. This group consists of people who give a minimum of $100 or more per month. We currently have 150 Vision Sponsors across Australia and looking to reach 500 by the year 2022. Our partnership director, Scott Slingo, will be personally working with the Vision Sponsors behind the scenes, providing updates, personal insights, and updates of the CAP network across the whole of Australia. If you get a sense that this is for you, then please indicate by writing Vision Sponsor on the form and come and see me or Vanessa afterwards and I'll explain it more. God is getting started with this life-changing work and I'd love for you to join us. He can use us together to change families, just like Josh and Corinne's, in the way that only He can. Thank you so much for having open hearts and for doing what you can for this local community here. Thank you for making us feel so welcome. It's been an honour and a privilege to share with you this morning. Together, we are Christians Against Poverty.
Thank you, Mark. And look, church, what a practical way to share the gospel with our community. You know, the Lord has been talking to us this whole year about developing in us a heart for the lost and the next generation. And I think what a practical way. You see, because when you find yourself in debt, and anyone who is in debt or anyone who's been in debt knows that it is more than just a number on a computer screen when you log into your bank, isn't it? It's more than just how much money you can spend or can't spend. You know that it is something that is quite literally crippling. And if it's Jesus' heart for us to preach the gospel and to preach the good news to the poor, then why not get involved in something so practical? Church, we have a lot of the philosophy of this. We have a lot of the understanding. Our heart is there for it. But why OCP wants to partner with CAP is because it gives us the tools to be very hands-on with meeting the needs in Merriwa and the surrounding suburbs. Mark, can I just ask you to tell us how we can get involved if we start run the CAP money course here, who would be ideal for that, and how can we get involved in that?
Yes. So the CAP Money program is a fantastic program. I'm one of the content deliverers for it. So it's about people who have a heart for people. You don't have to be an expert in finances, okay? Because there is one golden rule of budgeting. If you don't know what it is spend less than you earn. Okay? That's the mathematics that you need for CAP Money, okay? The other side of that, what is the difficult part of budgeting? Spending less than you earn. Okay, that's why a pastoral heart, a person who cares for people, is more important than a person who's a genius of mathematics. They're the type of people that we need, people who love people. The other side of it is someone who's confident enough to actually speak in front of people and meet with them and coordinate. You need some people that will actually be able to do the logistics of it. There's definitely some people here I can see. The way that you guys run this church is just awesome. And so there's some gifting here that has just only comes from God. But I reiterate, if you want to get involved with CAP Money, you need a heart for people, and that's it. You don't need an accountancy degree. You don't need to be an economist. You don't need to be a mathematics genius. You just need a heart for people.
Well, thank you so much. So maybe that out there today, maybe, you know, one of the other things that we're always looking for here is that we're a fivefold church. We believe in Ephesians 4 that it is the job of the apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, and evangelist to equip the saints for works of service. So the saints being all of us for works of service, which means that it's not just a few people up the front who get things done. It's going to take all hands on deck to see community transformation. And look, maybe you will never see yourself speaking on a microphone behind a pulpit. Or maybe you'd never see yourself leading the praise and worship or running a home group or anything like that. Maybe you can get involved here. Maybe this is something where you say, my heart is in this. My heart is in this. I might not want to go to Bible college. I may not want to get a degree in theology. I may not want to do all that. I can't sing. I've got no charisma. Never stop me, but whatever. That's fine with you. But maybe this is something that you can get involved in today. So maybe go away, pray about that and see what it is. Maybe you could use CAP Money course yourself. No shame in that. Absolutely no shame in that. Because as we know, if we are going to go and help alleviate the crippling depression and suicidal thoughts, wouldn't it be great if we alleviated it right here first? So there's no shame in that either. But look, church, we just want to expose you to CAP this morning. And of course, after seeing Watoto Children's Choir last night, and we got to see the harrowing footage of how they live over in Uganda. And it really, for me last night, it really put into contrast the life we have versus the life we have. And this morning, I think, your media has been brilliant, because what it does is it shows you that that's actually the truth for people here too, in places like Merriwa and the surrounding suburbs. There's people who live in the same way, albeit, through whatever circumstances got them there. One thing we do know is that it is Jesus' heart to alleviate poverty. And one thing we do know is that we are his hands and feet. So, church, why don't you just give a thank you to Mark for presenting this. Look, we want to support CAP and we want to get involved however we can. So I just encourage you to go and avail yourself of the resources. If you want to know anything else about it, please come after Mark and Vanessa have gone. Please come and see me if you're interested in becoming a coach. If you're interested in that, please come and see me. If that's something that your heart is beating for, please come and see. Church, we're all about going and preaching the gospel. What a fantastic vehicle to do that with. How many of you would agree? It's a very practical way. Sometimes going up to people on the street and handing them tracts, God bless you if you do that, can be daunting for a lot of us. Even more so if you one of the brave people who go up and ask if they can pray for healing for random people on the street. Absolutely, God bless you for doing that. And look, we should do that, I think. Maybe not stand on the street corner with a sandwich board saying the end is nigh. But getting the word out to people is very important, isn't it? However you do it. And what better way than meeting them right where they are in their need and saying, let's help you get out. It's more effective than meeting their physical needs right now. It's giving them the tools to get out of it. That is wonderful. So let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for organizations like Christians Against Poverty. Thank you for your gospel, and that's where the heart of the matter comes from in the first place. Lord, I just pray that you'd bless Christians Against Poverty, that you would you'd provide them the provision to meet the vision that you gave them. However that is, I pray for people like Mark and Vanessa who go around and share churches. I pray for the people who work, who volunteer, everybody involved in CAP, because I know, Father, that it is you using this to extend your kingdom. It's you using this to free the poor, to break the chains of oppression and the yoke of the oppressed. Lord, this is you going against the world system, flying in the face of mammon. Lord, this is you just bringing your kingdom to the earth. And Lord, we are again in awe of how you do things, and we're just grateful that we can be a part of it. We're grateful that we can be your sons and your daughters and your co-laborers. So Lord God, I just want to pray for the church today also. I want to bless them. I pray that what has been spoken here would go and it would germinate in their hearts. That you continue to bring across our path things that change our hearts to be more like yours when it comes to a heart for the lost. Lord, we see this all year and we thank you for sending Mark and Vanessa. Even before we knew that Wototo was coming, Lord, you seem to just organise these events and you orchestrate these circumstances. Lord, I pray, Father, that you put a burning passion in the hearts of us all, that we'd be touched and changed, that we would be different today, wanting to make a difference, in our own lives, in our own finances, so that we can be a blessing and help other people with theirs. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, church, God bless you. I think we've had a bit of an early morning this morning. Well, more reason to stay back and have a coffee, give everybody a kiss and a cuddle. Please please come and talk with Mark, Vanessa. Please bless them and make yourself available, the resources up the back. And have a great week. God bless.